Welcome to the discussion today. Our guests are Sean Kingsbury, Chief Information Officer of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board, Commander Tony Thornton, Deputy Director of the Health Information Technology Directorate of the Defense Health Agency, Dan Doney, the Chief Innovation Officer of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and David Miller, the Chief Security Officer at Covisint. Gentlemen, thank you. Welcome to the panel. Before we get started, let me set some context to our discussion. For the past 2 years, agencies have been making the jump to cloud computing. Many first made the jump with back office systems, email, collaboration, web hosting. But recently, agencies have been seeing value in the cloud and putting mission critical applications there. The Office of Management and Budget said in 2014 budget request to Congress that agencies successfully migrated nearly 70 services to the cloud in 2013 and previously. And the use of the cloud isn't expected to go down. IDC Government Insights found in a July 2013 report that agencies will spend more money on cloud services in 2014 and beyond. IDC estimates agencies will spend $1.7 billion on private cloud services in 2014, and by 2017, that number is going to increase to $7.7 billion. IDC also found that infrastructure as a service is the largest cloud services market for agencies, with an expected spend of about $5.4 billion. Software as a service, platform as a service, also is expected to see pretty large increases, $2.4 billion for software and $1.1 billion for platform as a service. But even with all these planning and expectations, federal chief information officers, and you guys will tell us all about those people in a second, all are saying there's still some questions, some concerns, some challenges with cloud services, including security, to name the one of the biggest ones. The General Services Administration's FedRAMP program is helping to alleviate some of those cyber concerns, but progress has been slow and steady. There's also many challenges ahead. The Government Accountability Office found in a 2012 report there's seven main challenges that agencies face. Among those are security, ensuring data portability and interoperability, and of course, procuring services on a consumption or on-demand basis. So we're going to discuss all those issues and many more today. So with that context in mind, we'll turn back to our guests, Sean Kingsbury, the CIO of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board, Dan Doney, Chief Innovation Officer of the Defense Intelligence Agency, Commander Tony Thornton, Deputy Director, Health Information Technology Director of the Defense Health Agency, and David Miller, Chief Security Officer at Covisint. Let me turn to Sean to start. Cloud, you guys have been lucky in the sense that the Recovery Accountability Board, you guys started from scratch almost, so you guys could jump right into the cloud versus some of your colleagues who maybe had to move legacy systems. Let's talk about the Recovery Accountability Board's use of cloud computing today.
Okay, so, you know, we learned a lot in our journey. You know, we initially, migrated recovery.gov to the public cloud, right? So when you look at that, it was really based on risk. I mean, so it's interesting that this discussion is based on security, right? Because, you know, that was really looked at as a low categorized system when you look at the data, because it's transparent data, but you still have to protect it because it could be high, it could be low from a categorization perspective, but high impact if something something bad were to happen. So you know, we actually weighed risk as we went down that path. But you know, since then we kind of look at it as a journey, meaning you know we started off with recovery, moving that to the cloud, but then we kind of got into the when you look at the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2012, you know we actually began to migrate our Recovery Operations Center to a cloud service, and really that was a private cloud. But when we did that, we actually stood up our cloud hub stack, which enabled us to burst and have the right people have access to the right information at the right time between public cloud and private cloud support and law enforcement. And with that, we actually migrated our mail and collaboration, like you said, back office systems to Microsoft 365 with their first GovCloud customer. And like I said, so this journey continued on, right? So now we're at a place where it's less about talking about cloud per se. It's actually more about the services, and it's about the data, because everything around that is that hype circle, right? It's all of the enablers to access the data, and cloud is an enabler, right? And with that, you have mobile, and you have information assurance around that as well. But it's been a journey, and we've learned a lot.
So one of the things about the recovery board that's interesting is you guys started with actually some mission critical systems first, and then did back office second.
Yes.
And now you're back to mission critical in many respects because of the Hurricane Sandy work you guys are doing and some of the other analysis that you're adding, the capabilities.
Right. Right.
Is that because you were able to do that because you had no legacy?
No. Actually, it's, you know, this is something I could say that federal as a whole needs to think about. It's not about coming up, looking at cloud and coming up with what I can do to leverage cloud services. It's about the mission, because business drives technology. Technology enables business to meet its goals and objectives. And our business required us, based on Consolidated Appropriations Act, as an example, based on the Hurricane Sandy bill, for us to actually do things differently, and there was an opportunity to enable us to meet our business goals by leveraging cloud services. So it's really about, you know, starting the business first. Where are we trying to go? What is it that we're trying to achieve? And how can, you know, and what are the solution alternatives? And cloud happens to be a cost-effective and secure way to actually deliver, to meet those goals. But you have to understand what it means to get there. So you do have to have your own people to understand that and the right partners.
All right, all good points. Let me turn to Dan Doney from the Defense Intelligence Agency. You guys aren't as lucky as the recovery board. You had legacy systems, but now you have the intelligence community cloud, the iSight cloud. Talk about DIA's role in that.
So our role within iSight, we're not one of the fundamental cloud providers for iSight. CIA and NSA are cloud providers in that environment. So in our case, we're a consumer of the services that they provide. What that means is we really have to push the boundaries of cloud service provisioning. In other words, cost recovery models, the ability to layer over our own individual enterprise rules, our governance processes on top of an extended cloud provider. But what you find, actually, and this is one of the things that's, I want to discuss cloud security just a little bit. There are a couple things that are counterintuitive about cloud that are worth addressing. Cloud provisioning and data center consolidation have sort of been layered together as one and the same. And the thinking there is, through cloud, we'll be able to consolidate our data centers and we'll be able to save money. The thinking there relies on a couple things, and it can go wrong in certain circumstances. So our world, in the defense world, if you consolidate your data centers to, let's say, 1, 2, 5, 10, even 20 data centers, as is the thinking behind cloud, you've actually created a significant vulnerability when you think about it. That if you were able to take down the brains of the intelligence community by striking 20 targets, that's a significant national security vulnerability. So what we've actually found, or what we're beginning to think about, is the idea of cloud provisioning through resiliency. In other words, a cloud-lit model. So a cloud-lit model really means that I've got...
When you talk about cloud-lit, let me just... Would you say light? Cloud light or cloud what?
Because cloud lit as in smaller infrastructure offerings that are more distributed across the world. So we've got a global presence in the Defense Intelligence Agency, and we exist across multiple networks that are cordoned off one from the other. We exist on an unclassified network and do much of our work with coalition partners there. We exist on a secret network and also a top secret network, each hosted by different providers. So already we have challenges of the differences across each of those particular infrastructure offerings. So we've emphasized a cloud service broker model. What this creates, I mean, this is true not just in our peculiar situation, but across government. You want to have choice in your cloud offerings. You want mobility across specific cloud providers. And so this is something that's really evolving now in the cloud world, is the ability to, you know, take two separate providers, whether it's AWS and Azure, as an example. I want to be able to move from one to the other. What that creates is some sense of resiliency. Now, again, when you have a global footing, you have a speed of light problem in terms of cloud delivery. If all of your infrastructure is hosted in one place here in the continental United States, or in 10 places distributed across the continental United States, if I'm delivering, for example, VDI services to the end user, and I have to make a call from Afghanistan back to the United States in order to get my VDI delivery, that creates a significant latency problem. So the question is, how do I have forward deployed infrastructure, but I don't want to deploy a whole host of IT specialists in order to maintain it in a danger zone? Fortunately, the cloud or a cloudlet strategy allows us to do this. If we have a service broker that allows us to just drop in some cold iron and bring online compute, network, storage in a commodity fashion, it gives us the ability to distribute across our cloud. This strategy, I think, is the future of the way that we deliver cloud.
All right. Well, I definitely want to pull the string a little bit on your data center consolidation, because it kind of goes against a lot of what we've been talking about as a community. Before we do that, let's move to Commander Thornton, Defense Health Agency. You guys are kind of new, but you guys probably are bringing some legacy systems. Talk about your cloud strategy.
So absolutely. We're absolutely new. We're about 2 months in. It's first time in history of military medicine where you have Army, Air Force, and Navy, supported by the former TRICARE management activity, all integrated in one agency. So that's what Defense Health Agency is, with the sole purpose of optimizing and improving healthcare delivery to our sailors, soldiers, airmen, warriors, and whatnot, and certainly our families and beneficiaries. Different than other panels, we're at the beginning stages. We certainly have tons of legacy systems, but what we see is cloud computing is an opportunity to advance healthcare delivery, not only to our customers internally, our doctors, nurses, paraprofessionals, but also to our commercial partners, as well as the beneficiaries. So we see it as a great opportunity. Certainly, listening to the panelists, the challenges of managing PHI, private health information, and, under the HIPAA rules and standards, security for us is one of the highest or one of the largest challenges. But certainly, we anticipate working with some of our other DoD partners, DISA, looking at the security implications and whatnot, the policies and governance and the things that are coming with FedRAMP and whatnot, to partner better, to deliver better health care. So we see it as an opportunity. Certainly, it's not the limitation, I believe, of the technology. For us, it's more the policies, procedures, and processes that precluded us to this date in order to optimize and to extend what the cloud offerings offer in terms of healthcare delivery. But we certainly see the aspects and what it's going to bring. Our external customers are mobile, and we recognize that. And so, particularly with as we look at outsourcing care and doing other things with our commercial partners, we see it as an opportunity to exchange information, health information, continuity of health care in terms of documenting within health records and whatnot, and partnering with our commercial partners, not just within DoD. So we believe that cloud computing becomes the foundation for that.
Very nice. Let's turn to David Miller from Covisint. David, you heard a lot of different discussions. What are you seeing from your customers? How are what you're hearing on the panel so far kind of matches with what you're seeing both in the private sector and some of your public sector customers?
Yeah, so it's very interesting, kind of the discussion that we're hearing here, right? You know, Covisint's been doing this, as was brought up, a brokerage model for 13 years, right, in the private sector. And to understand the cloud, I think you actually have to understand what is driving a lot of the decisions where the cloud becomes valuable, right? It's not just the, gee, it's cool, so let's do cloud, right? And what we see is two real trends, certainly in private sector, and I'm hearing the same thing in public sector, right? One of the trends is the idea of moving your services to a place where you have some expertise that can do it more efficiently and capable than maybe you can. So you see organizations say, I don't need to do my expense report management. I can hire out a cloud service to do expense report management because they're good at doing it, right? That's part of cloud service, right? But part of cloud service is also keeping the data where it most makes sense as opposed to moving it. In the old days, what we would do is data would move to a central place and then we would process it all centrally, right? Now that causes a lot of problems. There's a lot of data movement, right? Data gets stale. You never know if it's worthwhile. So in healthcare, for example, we're seeing a lot of things like the outsourcing of labs, right? means that that data really should sit at that lab provider, right? The number of times that folks are referred to specialists, that data sits at that specialist. So now what you have is I have data in lots and lots of places, and I have folks that offer services that do it better than I do. So what you end up with in many cases is this idea of my data and services in lots of places. So this isn't moving to one or two. You know, unlike what some of the public sector folks are seeing, when you look at large enterprises, they're going from, we used to have everything in one nice little data center or one nice big data center, right? And we'd have one big backup data center somewhere and we thought we were okay. And now their challenge is that they're saying, well, no, we're going to have that data and those processes at 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 providers. And the problem associated with that is how do you bring those all together in a way that people don't have 10 or 20 or 30, 40 different IDs? How do you transfer the data in a way that is secure, right, because systems need data from each other, right? So that's where we've seen a brokerage model, right, a model of having something that ties together these cloud providers simply being a valuable place to be able to manage security and interoperability. Right, but we've also seen that that accelerates the model. What you're going to find is as you start doing this, it's a little bit like eating popcorn, right? What ends up happening is, you know, you start a little bit, and next thing you know, you're eating more and more and more and more and more. As you start moving to the cloud, you're going to find that the problems you find in the beginning become less and less and less, and it accelerates that movement.
All right, the popcorn model for cloud, that's a good time to take a break. We do have to take a break. You're listening to the panel discussion, Understanding the Intersection of Customer Service and Security in the Cloud, sponsored by Covisint on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.